house naked. It's a safety issue.
Safety issue?
What if there's a fire?
So you leave shorts by the door?
No. You don't leave... I could be wasting precious time putting on clothes.
Door shorts.
Door shorts.
I actually really like that idea. Because, like, yeah, now I've gotten... Like, I've picked up this... I'd never worried about that. Now I've picked up this anxiety.
From him?
From you?
Yeah, from him.
How very dare you?
And so...
Infringe on people's happiness.
Like, now, like that, yeah, maybe I just need door shorts.
Door shorts.
Or some kind of, like, door dress.
Yeah.
Door smock.
Fire dress.
I like it. Yeah, my door smock.
I don't require
anybody. You put a hook on the back of the door and just leave a smock hanging there all the time.
Yeah.
There's no rules in my place. It's just when you see good sense tactics...
I think door smock is a good sense tactic.
I like the door smock.
I think I'd just rather die in a fire than wear pants in my own.
You're on a second story. You're gonna die in the fire. You're already fucked.
What?
You don't even need door shorts.
I have three exits.
Yeah, because you probably have like...
But two of them are a fall, aren't they?
No, because you have like a back
I have the front door, the back door, and a balcony. Yeah. I can climb down the... Mm-hmm. The storm drain.
But you don't have a million pets to save.
That's true. I don't have a million.
Picture it didn't happen.
All right, well. Birthday, well, I'll
Wait, no.
head over to my apartment.
You're going to need multiple door smocks.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
A balcony smock.
Yeah, balcony smock. I'll just go out in my fucking nothing. Like, there's a fire. Like, fuck it.
Yeah.
What you looking at? There's a fire in my house.
Yeah, I have to collect three cats. I don't need my balls on fire while I'm hunting around trying to find
Well, I think, though, I think you have
your
a good
three
point.
Cats
like,
is why I wouldn't be naked
yeah,
in
like,
your
that
house.
Would be a good, yeah.
It's not like a jumping up and, like, back clawing me.
Is okay.
Ooh, there's something dangling. Whack!
I don't like that. Not even Muddy Buddy.
When Peach was a puppy, she was like that.
Are you trying to tell me Peach isn't a puppy now?
When Peach was a baby puppy. Like a brand new.
So she's not your baby now?
She's a fresh puppy.
She still had that new puppy smell?
Yeah.
You have a mouse. Are you trying to tell me you want to fight me? Like,
I think that's what it's coming down
like
to.
That's what's happening.
Yeah. Is that not what I said?
Oh, look, we're live.
Great. Hey, so I've been watching Frankenstein Chronicles on Netflix.
That looks dreadful.
The first season was good.
I can't. It's difficult for me to take you seriously when you talk like this.
I can't recommend the second season, but the first season was good.
Your synopsis of the second season is
Mary
what I
Shelley
expect.
Is a character in this.
This sounds like a worse version of Penny Dreadful.
No, it's nothing like that.
It is. I don't know.
More importantly, more betterly, last Sunday we finished True Detective.
Mm.
Hungover from birthday, no less.
Both seasons?
No.
No, just season
No,
one.
True Detective.
Season 2 is good.
Season 2 is...
It's different.
Acceptable.
It's but good.
Good but it's, is not how I would describe it.
I liked it.
You can like it all you want, but when I say True Detective was amazing, you're like, that first season was amazing. And there was a second season that was not as good as the first.
It was very different from the first.
Agreed. Like, in quality. Like, one was good.
No, I can't even say that.
You're right. One was excellent. The other one was mediocre. What are we talking about next week? Spoiler, now it's Three Billboards.
Three Billboards, yeah.
I heard it.
Took me a minute. And then Shape of Water, because that's out now, too.
We'll see.
It's got masturbation. It's got musical. It's got dance numbers. It's got...
I hate dance numbers.
Masturbation.
Yeah, you notice I only mentioned the dance numbers.
Yeah, I know. So then there was Birthday, part one.
The Ides of Birthday.
The Ides of Birthday.
I'm
still missing
something.
I'm still missing Juju.
Yeah, me too, for sure.
Yeah.
That
Juju's
did not
gonna
scratch
have to,
my karaoke itch.
Yeah, Juju's going to have to happen to...
Yeah, I didn't want
to
shit on Birthday, but that place sucked.
No, Birthday was fine. That place sucked. hating on that place is part of the fun of birthday.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
Oh, thank God. At Gen Con, we used to do a hate room.
Nice.
Like at the end of the night when everybody was drunk in their beds, we would just hate on people. Just, ugh. Did you see this guy in a stupid fucking hat? That guy's the fucking worst. Hate room. Mm. So good.
Hate fucking sandwich. God, I hate him. This dumb hat.
What?
That's how you hate on people, right?
It's a fucking bartender.
When you, like, dislike people, like, everything they do is, like...
Yeah, that fucking bartender. Yeah.
Which bartender?
The bartender of Blood and Sand.
Oh, I can't.
Like, we literally just talked about this in the car.
I wasn't listening.
I know.
You hated him?
Or I fucking hated that guy.
Oh, really? Yeah.
I fucking hated him.
I don't even remember particularly what was to hate about him. Me neither. I remember you saying that you hated him when we were there.
You and I talked about it a lot. And
we
then
talked
I saw
about
that...
it a lot. I see, this is the problem. I don't remember birthday well.
That's how you know it's a good
birthday. Around Blood and Sand that my memory gets hazy.
So when was Blood and Sand?
Immediately before the karaoke.
Oh.
We came from there to the karaoke place.
We finished dinner kind of early, and so...
I see.
Yeah.
I fucking hated the bartender. I was telling Anna how much I hated the fucking bartender. Then I notice he's got a Big Trouble in Little China tattoo on his arm, and I'm like, oh, fuck, no. Like, oh, god damn it.
Conflict.
Yeah. No, he's still the worst. But
we
he had a cool
a little
tattoo.
Conversation about Big Trouble in Little China, too.
We sure did.
Right.
Yeah. Then it was one of those things where I was, like, trying to disengage because I got too deep in a conversation about a superficial thing I didn't want to connect with this guy on.
I don't know how you could hate a man who brought you such nice tater tots.
Oh my god, those tater tots were good.
Left a lot of them on the table. Just want to put that out there.
We had just eaten, like, an entire meal, and we had been drinking all day.
Oh, I'm sorry, I thought it was birthday.
It was.
So we
that's why I was stuffing tater tots and
those drinks.
Whatever I ate at...
That hot drink that was... We got there.
It's just a lot of things.
I just put a lot of things in me.
You get a hot drink?
I didn't get a hot drink.
Oh.
You ordered a hot drink.
I had a hot drink.
You got a hot cocktail.
What?
Birthday is the best.
Okay, I remember that there was some kind of cider cocktail situation, but it wasn't hot.
If you didn't get the hot drink, maybe it was Cushman. Someone got a hot drink.
No, me and Cushman got the same drink.
Yeah,
we got the
you
Blood
ordered
and Sand.
The...
I got the same thing.
Oh, no, we're talking about at the cidery.
Oh, at the cidery?
Oh, no, I'm talking about Blood and Sand.
Oh, Blood and Sand. No, I didn't
oh, no,
get a hot
it's
drink.
All, it's all bad.
No, it was, it had a lot, it had some, like, Cremant in it, and it had some interesting, like, vermouths.
And some heat.
But there was, but it was not heated up at all.
Someone got a hot drink. It wasn't me.
It was not me.
It was not me.
I don't drink hot things.
Maybe it was Cushman.
Yeah.
We both got the same thing. We got the Blood and Sand.
Who really? Else was there?
Alex.
He didn't get the hot drink.
Oh. He didn't come till later.
Alex?
Yeah, Alex. Because
oh.
he went
oh,
to go get the car.
Getting the, yeah.
That's right.
Because we walked.
No, then it was just the four of us. Yeah, we all,
yeah.
the four of us walked.
Yeah. I mean, I have a picture. Oh, I don't have my phone with me, but I have a picture of it. And what I was drinking was not a hot drink.
All right. You win this round.
Things got weird when Pittsburgh came
happened.
Back here.
Which,
don't they always?
Which part?
Two people sleeping in the living room, one on the floor.
I like a hard surface.
Nice.
You found one.
You were like, I'm going to sleep, and you just laid down on the floor. It's like, there's a chair right there. Nope, this is fine. Then you were gone. Gone, but not forgotten.
Then there was the escalation of not sleeping.
Yeah.
That got weird.
Yeah, the problem is that Anna won that, though, because, like, she came back from the dead.
Yeah.
She rallied.
Yeah.
She rallied and won Exploding Kittens. I don't think knowing how she was supposed to play
no,
the game.
I still don't know how to play Exploding Kittens, so...
Yeah, so, like, one of the rules is if you get a kitten, that's when you use your defuse card.
Mm-hmm.
You kept trying to play... Like, actively during your turn, play your defuse card. It was like, no, don't do that. You need that for later. Keep that in your hand.
Oh, so you all basically helped me win.
We helped you not get rid of the card you needed.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you can't play this card. Don't play this card.
Don't okay. don't play that one. You, yeah. Anything else is fine. Just don't play that one yet.
The real game was that neither Kayla nor me wanted to go to bed, and it became a contest. To which... The only real loser was Alex.
Well, Alex got a nap, so I don't know.
But then he had to drive us all home.
Then he did have to drive you guys
home. He did not nap long enough to make up for that drive.
That's true.
And, like, I know, like...
I've never seen Alex look quite like that when he woke up either.
No.
Because he looked hungover.
I don't know. It wasn't that late. It was only like 1 o'clock or something, right?
It was 3.
Well, I thought it was 3 when we got home.
Yeah, it was 3 when we...
It was 2:30. I think it was about 2:30 when you guys left.
I don't really know.
It was late.
Because I got up early and just felt really, like, perky.
Nice.
Or maybe I'm
not
remembering.
Did you get up early?
Wait, I thought I got up early because I was like, I am up shockingly early. And did we had breakfast.
Mm-hmm. No, we watched True Detective.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? Maybe I did get up at like 10:30. Yeah.
That sounds a little better.
Okay.
That sounds like the times that make sense to me. So it was a good birthday.
So what happened to your girl?
I don't know why she's trafficking sex. I don't know why she joined a cult. I don't know why she's been branded.
She's joined a pyramid scheme cult. Allison Mack.
She played Chloe on Smallville, the gummy blonde non-love interest. Just go ahead and look her up.
I'm doing it.
She was number one on the top 10 list for a long time.
The top 10 list?
The top 10 list. A long time.
Before Chloe Grace Moretz was on there, and then got removed for a while from the list because we realized that she was underage.
Yes.
Yeah, her folks were, her dad was in the military.
Yes, but before the whole Chloe Grace Moretz fiasco, the honest mistake.
That was so precious.
Yeah, I don't know why she joined a cult.
Why wouldn't you?
Because the dude brands you?
I mean, you probably get brainwashed first before that happens.
Brand is really hard for me to be brainwashed away from.
You? Have you ever, like, had somebody actively try to brainwash you?
Or brand
I said,
you?
The brand is really hard for... No, I have not... I mean, other than the deep state. Obamar brainwashed me. Now it's why I can't think for myself and vote for one of the major parties.
Oh, they have a picture of her actual brand?
I don't think it's her actual brand. That is the
The brand that people get.
It's interesting. That looks like a lot like Albrecht Dürer's signature, that A.
It's not the tree.
No, it's not that.
It's not the tree.
It's an ugly brand.
It's an ugly brand.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, have we ever seen pretty brands, to be fair?
I mean, I think branding is a form of body modification, no?
I know it is, but that doesn't mean it's...
That doesn't mean it's pretty.
Pretty. Oh God, and I've seen some cold brands that are kind of pretty, but, like, I don't know.
What the fuck is a cold brand?
It's basically where you, like, make something so cold that it, like...
Damages the skin.
Yeah. Ugh. And you can do a lot finer lines, and some of that can be kind of pretty looking, but...
See, most of these, if you Google branding, most of this isn't actual branding. This is, like, scarification.
Yeah, which can be kind of pretty.
Yeah.
But, like, you can't control swelling.
Yeah.
You can't, you know, so that it...
Oh, this one's
get the kind
David.
Of beauty. I love that.
Is it a fucking bee?
I actually really love that. What part of her body is, like, can you scroll back? Are those boobs or is that mass?
Oh, let's see.
That's her face.
Ooh, oh my god, it didn't. Here we go. It's this one. Oh. No, I don't want to log into. Oh my god. Life is so hard.
Let's not mess up Tony's Pinterest. Okay, right there.
I don't have a Pinterest.
Oh, that's a chest.
So that's fine.
Oh yeah, that is a chest.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. Oh, what is it? A glass? Wow. I don't know. It just looks so painful. And I can only imagine, like, the, like, rate of infection. Like, if you get an infection in that, it's gonna be ruined.
Yeah.
Mm.
I mean, same thing with tattoos, but a tattoo isn't... Well, tattoos are open wounds, but...
They're not burns, though.
Yeah.
Because, like, burns do a whole bunch of weird pus stuff. And, like, tattoos aren't typically, like... None of mine were pussy. Mine wasn't pussy.
They shouldn't
have
been. None of mine. So you only had one.
Yeah. No, I've got a dick tattooed on my dick.
Perfect. Dick butt tattooed.
My dick's dick.
It's named Richard.
Wow.
He calls me sir. So I don't know, Tony. It's just...
Yeah, it's weird.
I don't know how that happens. I want to say this is just like also part of some like weird indie film she's doing. Like,
this is a long con then.
It's like a...
Because I remember hearing about this like at least 6 months ago.
And where were you?
I thought you knew. For some reason, I thought you were in on the conversation.
No.
Otherwise, I would have pointed it out.
No. I don't keep up with sex trafficking daily.
No, I figured you had Google alerts for your list.
I only have Google alerts for one person. Me. Because I like to know when people are talking about me. And scuttlebutt around the internet is that I'm pretty fucking amazing. So.
That's what you keep posting.
It is what I keep posting.
Those bots you set up to post that everywhere.
You know what I started doing today? Ugh, this is some deep, deep nerd shit. Are you fucking ready for this?
Lay it on me.
Are you fucking ready for this? Okay, so Kingdom Death. All right. Kingdom Death, they did this Kickstarter thing a year and a half ago or something like that, where, like, you buy into it, and then they ship you, like, all of the pieces in waves. So wave two is shipping right now. So, like, a bunch of people are getting the expansions, which are sold out in the store. Well, the store is, like, some WordPress piece of shit site. So all of the expansions are expected to go, like, out of stock now, but they're expected to be in stock soon. So I wrote this Ruby script, and I can give it all of these URLs, and it uses this regex to pull out the out-of-stock sign on the pages.
There is a
and
level.
If it finds the out-of-stock sign... It doesn't email me. But if it doesn't find it, it emails me immediately and tells me it's back in stock.
Nice.
This is some deep shit, Tony.
You're deep into this.
The shit sells out immediately. Because people scalp the shit on eBay because the supplies are so limited. It's fucking obnoxious.
That is obnoxious. We have a problem.
What's wrong? Oh my gosh.
Then we've what you're streaming.
It's been picking up our...
The mic.
Yeah, the mic off there.
You should probably turn that off, right? Or does it switch over automatically?
I don't know if what
it
OBS
hasn't been
is
a problem
doing.
Thus far.
Are people listening?
I mean, is there anyone in past, the room? Oh. Streams, it has never been a problem.
What, doesn't Nick constantly complain about the stream quality?
Yeah, but that's Nick.
That's Nick.
Oh, okay.
And he adjusted it. We adjusted it. And he was like, okay.
Is this your brother?
Yeah.
Oh.
Who's in town?
What? Fuck that guy. Yeah, he's in spring break. Ooh. You'll see him Sunday.
Yeah, I knew he was going to be there Sunday.
You might not see him Sunday. He might have to go back.
For Easter?
Yeah, because he's got to be, if he's got to be in class on Monday, then...
I don't think he has to be in class on Monday.
What are you basing that on?
My knowledge of Nick in general? Like, I don't...
I feel like your when mom actually said something about that he might not be there.
Oh, really?
But, like, yeah, your dad might be driving him.
Yeah, like
back when we were
early.
Having that conversation that turned into the other awkward conversation that you didn't save me from.
Which I got the message. I got like 4 messages for my birthday on my Alexa. She sits behind my monitor, so I didn't see like she's like been glowing for days. So I'm like, Alexa, what, like, tell me my messages. And she's like, message from March 17th at such and such time. There was like 4 messages. And I can hear all of us in your kitchen. And you said something about abandoning Anna. And the other ones are just Jesus. Gibberish. There's nothing.
Kayla has a taste.
Kayla has a taste.
I do love sending people messages from Alexa.
Hey, this is Tony.
This is Anna.
This is Kayla.
Is that a question?
We're going to adjust your microphone a little bit, maybe. Yeah, that should do it. We're the Backseat Producers.
Oh.
This is awesome, dude.
Well.
Sorry, you're too late. You're kicked out.
It's fine. You know, when you get over 500 some odd episodes of podcasts recorded, you really don't feel the need to identify yourself anymore.
Well, that just sounds like poor podcasting etiquette.
Or maybe you're just not experienced enough to know yet what good podcasting etiquette really is.
Oh, this is super boring.
Welcome
I'm
to podcasts.
So bored right now.
Welcome to podcasts. Is this your first time?
I think the parameters change evidently. I guess after what, 350?
Yeah, you're in you're in your own tier.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. But that's only from 350 to 360.
Then you have to hit the 10 year mark also.
Oh, yeah. Shit. Oh fuck. Oh yeah. Well, yeah. All right.
Nope. All right. Okay.
All right.
Yeah, we're coming up on
12? No, a million.
12 years.
I don't know how to tell what microphone it's pulling audio from because OBS, like I pull up the mic properties.
OBS has a like a graph, like a sound wave, right?
Yeah.
Is that picking up?
Yep, it is.
Then it's that microphone. Because
so then how do we tell it to stop doing that? Because I pulled the properties and it shows me two microphones, but they're both called exactly the same thing.
Change it to the other one.
I should have mentioned that there are three options.
Well,
there's default, and then there's microphone high definition audio device.
I think that's the one.
Even when you're not tapping, it's constantly picking up something.
It when you're tapping, it should be spiking.
Yeah,
and it's really
like especially if you use a nail.
Three viewers, holy fuck!
What?
Everybody shit just hit the fan. What the hell? Can you guys... Everybody scoot forward. What's going on?
It's like us. It's like
oh god. Oh.
Okay. Yeah, but I can't tell if it's also like one of the mics picking. You know what? It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter for us.
Yeah.
Who are the people in the stream? Ah, oh, fuck. Alex is here. Everyone leave.
So,
can you tell us how the... You guys sound clear? Apparently we sound clear, so fuck it.
Oh, good enough.
Baff Adam is now following!
Yeah, I just saw that.
Yeah, it's a pain. Look, the navigation on this app is a fucking nightmare.
Yeah, it is.
So the Twitch app is not my favorite thing.
Like, I don't understand why when I'm following somebody, because I was already following this account.
Yeah.
I just turned on notifications when it goes live for the stream, hoping that the notification is going to be a one-click navigation option to this page, because it's like eight, like I have to find the people I'm following, then I have to click Backseat Producers, then I have to click like, if it's streaming, there's a button, but sometimes not, so it's just a fucking hassle.
How about, can you hear us now?
Now it sounds like we're coming through the laptop mic.
I switched to the other high-definition microphone.
God damn it.
But I switched it back, so I need him to tell me.
Good thing there's
OBS is such a superior product.
Did Nick just show up?
Sounds good again? No.
Oh.
So apparently it's the first option after default.
Okay. Yeah. Good to know.
Good to know. The next time I stream, I will definitely set my setup that way.
I don't think it'll be different on any other computer.
I know.
So, sorry.
I've streamed twice in the last 6 months.
Yay.
Yeah. It was pretty gay. I was showing Alex all my UI mods in World of Warcraft.
Jesus.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, he wasn't even awake to see them.
Because as soon as you started streaming, you immediately fell asleep.
Yeah. No, it was like 10 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, well, that's why.
Yeah.
You streamed for Alex, but you didn't bother to do it at a time in which he would be awake?
Correct.
All right.
Correct.
Did you save the stream so you can go back and watch it later?
Nope.
Perfect.
No, because I hate it.
Nope.
He uses the classic WoW UI, and I don't know how he plays the game like that. Like, it seems such an inconsequential thing until you use something else, and you're like, I don't even know how I lived with this other situation.
I know how I lived. I stopped.
Well, I mean, is that living?
Yeah.
Sounds like dying.
It's living with $15 extra a month in my pocket.
I burned $15. I burn more than $15 a month on fruit snacks when I go to Menards.
That is a lie.
One, Anna bought the last ones when I was there.
Yeah.
But it's not a lie. I go to Menards a lot.
Wow.
It really adds up.
We have a Menards very close, I understand.
I like Menards.
Menards is pretty awesome. They only didn't have houseplants for us, which was disappointing.
I remember that's what we went there for.
We went there for houseplants.
For weed? Is that what you're trying to say?
I don't know. I don't remember.
You wanted to go there.
I'm sure.
Well, I think I was the one who brought it up. Like, I was just getting drunk and was like, I want to go to Menards and buy a houseplant.
And I was like, wee!
and an adventure.
Like, I don't want to go to Menards because they don't serve drinks at
and
Menards.
And we were all like, nobody cares what you want. I know. Get in the car.
Then we went to Menards and we were like, hey, they don't serve drinks here. And
there are no houseplants.
Yeah, there are no houseplants.
Then we tried to go to the house plantery, and the guy's like, fuck you, we're closed. It's Sunday night. Go home.
Why are you drunk?
Please. Get out of the parking lot.
Do you serve drinks here?
Go home to your disassembled
dishwasher. Because we have some in the trunk if...
So that's what we're up to.
All right.
Just being the best we can be.
This weekend, birthday life continues.
We'll see.
It continues. Or comes to a crashing conclusion.
Oh, Jesus, we're drinking here. I hope it doesn't have to... Like, you've got a family, Tony. Holy shit. God.
All right, so are we going to talk about this movie or what?
I'm not.
Yeah, I'm ready.
Kayla, what'd you think? We should probably say what movie it is.
Oh, yeah. What movie was it?
Pass.
A Wrinkle in Time.
A Wrinkle in Time.
What'd you think?
I never read the book. I owned the book. I remember, like, looking at the cover and thinking about, like, reading it multiple times, but I just never did it. So, that's a thing.
How very bohemian of you.
I had a lot of problems with the movie, but I have a problem with talking poorly about the movie.
Okay.
Oh,
David.
Yeah. Not yet. This wasn't a terrible movie, but I can't say that I overly enjoyed this movie either.
Anna?
Yeah, I was disappointed. I mean, I was impressed with some of the translations that they did. Like, there were just some parts of the book that are unfilmable and today, and they made some really cool choices, but ultimately it was disappointing.
I had tried to read the book about 3 or 4 times and found it very difficult to get into. I did not enjoy it.
This is why I wore a cup.
The last time, to be fair, the last time I tried to read it, I think I was 15. So, like, and at that time, I found no interest in it. Aaron, who is a voracious reader, brought it home. She couldn't finish it. And she plows through books in a day or two. She couldn't finish it. But we went to see the movie. She really enjoyed it. I had exactly the opposite experience of her.
So you didn't enjoy the movie? Is that what I heard?
I actively disliked this movie. I described this movie to Julie as Disney Channel presents A Wrinkle in Time because it felt like it was that level of quality. I think they spent a lot of money on special effects and actors. For some reason, this movie was a train wreck. Absolutely train wreck.
You guys should specify this was a 2018 version. I mean, I guess, but I have the movie poster up.
I didn't realize there was another version,
yeah,
to be honest.
There was another one that was, I think, done by the Disney Channel. And it was supposed to be absolutely horrific.
Well,
I think it was
done in the 90s.
I want to see this because I kind of want to compare the two.
I kind of want to see it too.
Because, like, there were germs of ideas that were good and could have built a really interesting story. Mm-hmm. And then they did everything else that they did in this movie.
Yes.
We should probably hear David's.
What? No, I already went.
Oh, you went.
Said?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah.
No,
so,
dive in.
You do it.
Time to go deep.
This book is probably, like, the most influential book in my life. Like, I read it for the first time when I was... Well, it was hard to read in the beginning, but I read it because this girl, Susan, who I completely adored, it was probably, like, the first buttings of, like, anyway. I worshipped Susan, and she rejected me over and over and over again. And she loved me.
Why, Susan?
That bitch.
Why, Susan? Why?
She's a wonderful person. Like, she's, you know.
Wonderful, but why?
Happily married now.
Oh, hold on. Was this the way?
Spoiler not to Anna.
If I'm really into this book as well, was this just another avenue of...
Well, that's what I hoped.
It never works out that way.
Yeah. And so I pushed myself to get through it when I was, like, 10, really struggled, but then, like, it grew on me, and I've read it a million times.
Somewhere in a box in the basement, I may still have a copy of it.
I can see why. Like, I'm actually really surprised. How far did Aaron get in it?
I honestly don't know.
Because I feel like it's a book that is impossible for anybody to read post-Cold War.
Okay.
I think it makes absolutely no sense if you didn't at least have, like, experiential passing brushes with the Cold War.
Hmm.
Because politically in the book, there's so much. And I think that that's what the movie kind of did well, was sort of change the setting.
Okay.
So that it's actually comprehensible to people now. But, so, yeah, I mean, kudos if she got, like, 3 pages in.
Yeah, like...
Because, yeah, it's...
So one of the things I felt about the movie was it felt like, and I, without having experience of the book, but it felt like there were parts of it that were ripped off from Neverending Story.
Yes! Oh my God, when the nothing came through?
Yeah.
That was the craziest scene. Sorry.
No, yeah.
That was the crazy, and what I hated about it was, like, they did it to basically develop the
feed
thing
that hate
between Calvin and Meg. And she forgets about her little brother, whom she adores and whose love, like, saves the world. And, yeah, but, like, the nothing, I think part of it was because in the book they call it the black thing. And there's, like, this real issue in the book with, I mean, it's interesting what they do with race, partially because Lingle is obsessed with the mother's creamy white skin.
Okay.
And red hair.
Okay.
And there's, like, I mean, it was written in 1960, and there is, like, this, like, yeah, it's just, like, it's an impossible book now. Like, I wouldn't have it in my classroom library. I wouldn't, like, and I love this book.
Yeah.
But, like, in many ways, it's just an impossible book. And it's, and so, like, through the whole thing, like, even though she tries to mess with the ideas of light and darkness and, like, say, like, darkness isn't evil, like, through the whole thing, or isn't always evil, like, through the whole thing, like, the evil thing is called the black thing. And I wondered if they were trying to, like, I can't remember if they called it that movie or not, but they don't, like, say
no,
it.
No.
They did not call it
They did not call it. They called it the nothing, I believe.
Did they call it the,
they called it the darkness.
They no, called it the darkness.
I don't think they even called it that.
I thought it was the nothing.
It felt like the nothing in that scene.
They couldn't have, like, if they would have called it the nothing, maybe nothing, like, nothing, it would have been too direct.
Yeah.
Because, like,
yeah,
right.
We're all a generation of a Neverending Story. Like,
right.
What?
Well, I mean, we did the fucking Valcor scene that went on forever.
Wait, what are we talking about?
Where they're fucking riding Reese Witherspoon around the sky for 20 minutes?
They just call it it.
Yeah. That's right.
From what I can
see. That's the brain. That's not, like, the darkness that...
Oh, that keeps...
So, basically, its influence is
what it's called. No, I think they refer to it as the it.
Oh, even just the influence.
Even, like, the... Like,
the creeping...
The miasma.
Okay. That was a good call.
Yeah, the it was fine. I mean, the fact that they called it the it was fine, but it just felt... derivative of the nothing from Neverending Story.
Which is, yeah, and I mean, I think...
Which is fine. I mean, we are how many decades away from the Neverending Story at this point?
Right, right.
So that's fine. I don't have a problem from them doing that.
I think, though, maybe that problem leads in, though, to the fact that Wrinkle in Time is a really philosophical book. That's part of what makes it interesting, and they wanted to, like, take that away. Completely from the movie. And what's evil about the it, or the black thing, or whatever, in the book, is that it's this idea of, it's like, it's basically totalitarianism and authoritarianism and using people and trying to make them the same for the benefit of something larger, not, like, valuing life, being kind of anti-human. And I feel like the nothing is a completely different kind of evil than that kind of evil.
Yes.
And it's fine if you want to use the nothing as your image because you feel like politically this other thing doesn't work because communism has fallen and because, like, the kinds of evils we have going on now can cater to you so individually that you can kind of be part of authoritarianism and have this sort of distinctness because of Facebook and all the data it collects on you.
Yep.
So, like, this kind of uniformity isn't a problem in the way it, like, in the way it was in the 60s. But then, like, run with the nothing as evil and, like, do something with it. Don't just, like, I mean, I love Neverending Story. I'd be happy to. Yeah.
Yeah. I had so many problems with the movie. I have a hard time, like, picking one and just running with it.
You want to start with three stories of Oprah? Why was Oprah so fucking big?
Why did it...
Why? It was just... Cinematically, it was just fucking weird.
There's only one scene in the entire movie where she physically interacted with any other characters.
Yeah.
It felt like... Yeah. Well, no, it was... They were on some bridge or something and she hugged the girl.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Other than that, she never touched another character. They were always looking up at a green screen. Like, it felt like they didn't know who they were going to get to fill that role. Or Oprah was never on set and they filmed her somewhere completely different. Like, watching the movie, I just had that feeling. It's like, she's not there. She's not with them.
Yeah.
She is General Snoke. Like, yeah. she's just not there. Because you might as well had Andy Serkis playing her.
Yeah, the shots were all super awkward because, like, she would be, like, sweeping her eyes where the action was, but, like, it didn't line up. It just looked really, really fucking weird. What the fuck? Oprah can't show up for... She didn't have that big of a part. She walked around in the fucking dress. She had, like, 20, 30 lines. Come on. You couldn't get Oprah for a day.
Yeah.
What's she doing? Anyway. Go on.
No, that was pretty much my thought on it. It's like it felt like she just wasn't actively part of the production. Or they didn't know who they were going to get, and they finally got Oprah, so... All right, we're going to slap Oprah in here instead of the other actor we had in there. The Falcor thing where they got Reese Witherspoon to be a...
The flower thing?
Flower butterfly thing. Effects are good enough now. They could have at least made it look like her. Like it...
I just
felt like it was just generic face.
Yeah.
Like it almost felt like we have all of these parts of the movie done that we've shot with the kids and we've had the special effects. Now we need three identifiable female archetype characters. Which actresses can we get to fill these roles? Mm-hmm. And we bring them in and have them film those scenes. Like it. There were just parts of the movie that really felt like that.
You know, it's interesting that you say that because part of what I was disappointed about was that the opening of the book is really different from the opening of the movie. That there's this really long scene with Mrs. What's-It, and they're in the kitchen for a really long time having a conversation with the mom. It's not the sort of intruder scene the way they did it in the movie. And it's this very warm home scene, and it's important because it sort of sets the scene for what that family had and what they had lost and what Meg was trying to restore.
Okay.
And that would make sense if they sort of threw them in later, that you wouldn't have had that really, like, rich scene setting going on, or they would have cut that out.
Yeah, or maybe they had the other two and they added Oprah later.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, it felt really weird.
I'm pretty sure Oprah was on set, like...
She might have been. It just
maybe
doesn't feel that way.
It doesn't feel like that.
She'd be three stories tall.
Yeah, I can see Oprah doing that.
So that wasn't like, part of the book.
No,
like how close does this follow the book?
That was weird to me. Which okay, I will say in general there were like a lot of ways in which they translated, you know, the three ladies really well. But there's like no reason. The role of Mrs. Witch is she does a lot of the exposition. She does a lot of the explaining.
Right.
She's the older, wiser one, definitely. But there's no reason. There's, like, nothing in the book that suggests that any of them are, like, bigger than the other or anything like that. I mean, she's, like, the older, wiser one, but she's not physically any different.
But, like, later, when they're on the bridge, she's the same size as everyone else.
Yeah.
There's no reason for her to be fucking huge. Well,
they describe it as, like, because they mention it. They're like, why are you so big? Like, she just... chose that size for her first appearance. Like, I don't know if she's not used to like human sizes or something. Like, that's how they explained it in the movie.
Yeah, it was a weird explanation, but
it was a lot of progressive one-liners.
Yes.
This one was specifically, there is no too big size.
Right.
That's what this one was specifically. Yeah. But like, okay.
Yeah, there's a lot of one-liners that are solid and to the point.
Yeah.
But they're mixed in with
drivel.
Like,
I mean, I feel like it makes sense that if you have these like shape-shifting creatures going to different planets, that when they first materialize, maybe things are going to be different or weird or wonky, and it would be fine if they continued that through the whole process, but yeah.
Then, like,
I will say though, I felt like the whole scene was kind of boring.
Yeah,
and maybe, maybe that first added visual interest to make her huge.
Maybe.
I mean, I don't think that's the approach. If it's like, this is a boring scene, let's blow up
Oprah.
Yeah.
Damn it, this scene just isn't working. Get giant Oprah.
Like, I don't know. There's just something about Oprah that was like, I can imagine her being like, if you want me on this, you better make me amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that. I like your Oprah. Mindy Kaling's character, Mrs. Who? Is that right? She only quotes
until
they don't have quotes that fit, and then all of a sudden she's just speaking like everyone else, which bugged the shit out of me.
Yeah, she was tired.
So that isn't except
for
in the book,
except for the end of the movie when she's talking like that, and her power's not drained at the end of the movie. Mm-hmm. Like the last stuff she says is just straight up dialogue.
The logic makes no sense because the point is that since she's not used to human language, she pulls quotes that are appropriate. And it seems to me it would be harder to generate your own statements.
You'd think.
When you're not used to human language, if you're... Yeah.
Yeah,
it's... So, I don't know.
The not rules part of the book.
Well, so the book is that she constantly quotes. Yes.
Okay.
Who only ever quotes, and she never not quotes, ever.
See, I was going to ask that about the book because I liked that. That quirk of the character. I thought it was really cool.
That's awesome.
Until all of a sudden she stopped.
They pulled better quotes. Like, they were doing kind of good at it at first, maybe, but, like, sometimes it was just really lazy, the quotes that they tried to use. I can't even remember.
The writing was lazy overall.
The writing was extremely lazy.
I mean, honestly, because that was one of the things that would also be hard to translate, because, like, Lingual is big into, like, just a lot of really high culture stuff. And, of course, this was also 1960, so, like, the quotes are all, like, things that nobody would care about or recognize now. And so I was really glad. And it was all super Western and super white. And I don't think there were any women. I was, like, reading back through the book. I don't think Mrs. Who quotes any women. Maybe she quotes Madame Curie once. And so I'm glad they changed the quotes.
Mm-hmm.
And they did have some. But, yeah, I think they just didn't take the time to read or find anything good.
Right.
Which is awful. I mean, there's wiki quotes.
Right.
Yeah.
wiki quotes.
Like, have an intern. I would have done it. They could have paid me.
Yeah,
like,
and mix it in with
I would quit my job.
Philosophers, politicians, musicians. Yeah. I mean, they did it.
It should be easier now.
Yeah,
You would think.
Yeah.
Yeah. The writing was really lazy in the whole thing.
Yeah.
The movie, my huge problem watching the movie is it repeatedly tries to cash in on this, like, emotional investment that it assumes that you're making with these characters, but it doesn't do the work. Like, and it's just constant. Like, it's all these scenes where it's like the music is swelling and, like, this, it's supposed to be super emotional and I'm an emotional person, but I'm just like, I can't connect with it. What is this white little boy? Like, why is he so sad? Like, his dad is mean to him, I guess, now? Like, there's just all this, like, and they just, like, kind of shove it in. Like, I was having a huge problem just connecting with the movie.
There's a lot of tell and not show.
Yeah. Yes,
like, my dad's mean to me. Izzy, I want to see your dad being mean to you. Show me your dad being really fucking mean to you. Then I want him to hit you.
Oh my god, I don't need that. I didn't need
No, I think...
That's what the movie needs if they want that. That's the work.
Or at least
you need that.
I don't think you even need the strike. I think you need this. The motion of holding his hand back and then show the kid flinching.
I don't think
he's
need
got
that.
You can do bruises. It.
Oh my god. I don't like what is that? You can be so mean to a kid without striking them. Like what? Like just
you can be.
The scene that they show with his father where he's like riding him about his grades. I felt like that was enough, but it comes too far, like too late in the movie. It's too short. It's like glossed over.
And it's really out of context.
Yeah.
Like you don't even understand the you got a B. Was that a B on your report card? Cause you failed a test because you fucked around for 3 days instead of studying? Because you know what? I would probably react the exact same way. If you had,
you wouldn't call Holden stupid and tell him that he's worthless and Oh, oh God. Okay. Well, all right.
Like, listen.
If Holden like decides to go to another world with some girl,
right? If he gets picked up on the street by three strange women saying that
by Oprah,
Giant Oprah,
Giant Oprah.
But if Giant Oprah comes and sweeps your son up, well, you only have yourself to blame.
Well, here's what you need to understand, though. In Tony's village, he chose to raise his children without mercy.
Okay.
Not with kindness.
Well,
like our village.
Well, then maybe you should have had some input. Oh, no way. You had us make the decision, and we made a decision. So maybe you should stop writing me about it. It was my child.
Well, I hope he dies.
He hasn't yet.
There's still time. We haven't fought the giant spider yet.
A wrinkle in time.
A wrinkle in continuity issues.
So,
Zach Galifianakis was good.
Zach Galifianakis was good.
Yeah.
He was good enough for what he did.
Yes. He was. I like seeing comedians in non-comedic roles.
That was a comedic role.
Yeah.
Was it? Because it wasn't funny.
It was funny-ish.
Funny-adjacent.
Okay, so here's the thing that I had to constantly remind myself when I was watching this movie, which contributed to my dislike of it. This is a movie for kids.
This was a movie for children that did not bother to cater to an adult audience at all. I think that is its biggest failing, and it just leaned into that. That's why I called it Disney Channel exclusive, because that's what it felt like. There are Disney Channel exclusive movies where it's like, as soon as I see that it's on, I walk out of the room, because Disney movies, Pixar movies, cater to a broad audience. They don't just lean into being a movie for kids. They understand that adults have to take those kids, and it's the adult wallets that are the ones that are going to pay for the DVDs after the fact, the toys after the fact. Disney Channel doesn't have to do that, because all they have to do is throw shit on the screen and kids are going to sit in front of it and watch it.
And do you think it's maybe a failure to trust kids to enjoy hard things and to like get hard? Because the Pixar movies can be kind of philosophical at points, and a lot of kids pick up on some of that if they don't fully get it all.
Yeah, Jesus, that opening to Up.
And
we don't discuss the opening to Up.
Mm.
And like, why?
I've never seen Up.
You only need to watch the first 5 minutes. Okay. It's fucking rough.
Be prepared to cry.
The
first 5 to 10 minutes is an amazing story unto itself, and bring a lot of tissues.
I never cry.
Oh, that's a lie. That's a fucking lie.
Only drunk balcony cry.
I only cry on balconies.
My crying smock.
What movie were you crying during that I was making fun of you for?
Movie?
Yeah, it happened. Continue. I'm reflecting on this instead of this movie.
So the thing is Erin really liked this movie.
Why did she like it?
I don't know. It was for her. It was a movie that catered to a 10-year-old.
It was Logan.
To 10-year-old girls.
Was I? Okay.
Yeah. That's fair.
You were making fun of me for crying at Sam and Haley's wedding.
Yeah.
Just because you hate Sam and Haley.
I cried at Sam and Haley's wedding too. So
I know. He was making fun of us.
Yeah.
He's the worst.
Emotions should be bottled up and then pushed way down deep where no one else can see them. That's you guys. Just fucking everywhere. Ugh.
Sorry, continue. We're real people.
Yeah, that's your mistake. You should apologize. Be fake people.
One day you might become a real boy.
I doubt it.
I mean, the movie is visually stunning. The score, I thought, was really good. I think the soundtrack is really good. I've been listening to the soundtrack nonstop since I watched it.
Really?
Jesus.
I don't know that I could pick out any music from it after the fact. Like,
other than that one song, the Chardé song, but
I mean, for me, it just, like, I was so bored. Like, I literally fell asleep during the sequence when they were in that, like, room with it. Mm-hmm. Like, I think I just totally phased out for like 30 seconds. Like,
is the remix of Sweet Dreams on the soundtrack?
I can't remember.
They did a slow remix of Sweet Dreams for the first trailer. That looked fucking good.
I like slow remixes.
I mean, one thing, like, thinking about it definitely, like, the message at the end about the daddy working too much was pretty damn saccharine sweet. And definitely what young kids want to hear. Because in the book, it's sort of more like, actually, the idea is your daddy can't save you. Because she hates him. And they wind up having to leave Charles Wallace. And then she has to go back alone and get Charles Wallace by herself. Because her father failed with the tesser. And so the message is sort of, your parents can fail and disappoint you.
Yeah, only it's like kind of worse in this.
You have to recover yourself.
Yeah, it's kind of worse in this. Because like, he's like, all right, well, let's get the fuck out of here. And she's like, what about my brother? He's like, ah, fuck him, leave him. We're leaving. And then she's like, no.
He tries to take her away.
Yeah. Yeah. And he does. And she's screaming.
But we get the idea that, like, he's not fine.
Yeah, he's not okay. He's not like, fuck it, let's go.
Yeah, it's like his soul is damaged.
Did we get that impression?
I don't think they did enough work for it.
No.
They didn't do enough work for a lot.
I'm telling you, they keep trying to cash in on this stuff, and they didn't do the work to...
I think they imply that he had forgotten about them.
Well, I didn't get that.
I thought that when they, like, she first walks into that room...
So I got the impression from that the it had been making him see his kids and his... trepidation there was he didn't know if she was real or just another manifestation to torture him.
Okay.
So I didn't think that he'd forgotten them. I think that it was torturing him with them.
Okay. Yes, he had to watch it again now.
If it was just for that, I wouldn't watch it again.
No, like, there are a few reasons. I wanted to see it. I was too busy doing other stuff. I wanted to see it again before I... because I do have a few more questions about the movie.
I've got a lot of questions about the movie.
By the time they got home, his whole shtick was, oh, I shouldn't have worked so much. I should have realized, like, the most important thing was right in front of me, my wife and my children.
Like, one of those children I was just happy to leave behind.
And, well, that was, like, because his values were shit before, but now he's back, and he's not gonna, like, work so much. And which I just think is a really stupid message, but... like, kids want to hear that. Like, I'm sure when I was 10, I would have wanted to hear what...
Your microphone is not on.
I'm talking in my phone.
Oh, shit. Oh. No, it's not.
Womp, womp, womp.
Will.
Now, I'll pick you up on the rest. I'll pick you up on the other mics. It's fine.
Okay.
Oh, and that.
Get over it.
Oh, human.
So there won't be, like, gaps of silence, and it won't look like y'all are crazy. I was kind of hoping that...
Well, like, uh-huh. Yeah.
Oh, we need to get you to do another Oprah impression, though. All right. So at one point, for reasons, the three beings have to leave.
Because their energy is being zapped by the it.
Yeah, they can't go to dark planets.
Kamazots?
Yeah, they can't go to dark planets.
Okay.
They have this one white friend.
Yeah.
And she's really uncomfortable on dark planets. So the other two friends are like, that seems really racist, but we just don't want to deal with you, so we'll only go to the white planets.
Right.
That's essentially how...
That's basically all that is.
That's basically all that is.
So they give them three gifts to take with them. Because they really only give them one gift.
Yeah.
Because what is the second one? The first one's an actual physical object.
It's the glasses. And then there's...
Reese Witherspoon gives her...
the gift of her fault. Stay together.
The gifts of her fault. And the last
one's the... Okay, yeah.
And then the last one is the gift of my command. My command is stay together.
Yeah. Don't split the party.
So literally...
immediately.
30 seconds. Not even 30 seconds after they vanish, split.
Yeah.
We're split. And then... any opportunity they have to split the party, they do after that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Meg needs to go climb the invisible stairs. Hey, should we? No, I got this.
Yeah, no, I got this.
I got this. I'm going to go alone. But
okay.
Like, every time they split the party.
Yeah, at this point, we're just like, everybody was fine with just just taking everybody as long as it ended.
Yeah. It's like, you guys can't even follow the command of Oprah. If you can't follow Oprah's commands,
yeah, you don't.
There is no hope. Just
problem. Why do we even care about you?
Problem was she was normal size.
The little boy who's like traveling with them. I just felt like he was a nothing character. Like,
which one?
Not the little boy. Not Charles Wallace.
The friend.
Calvin.
Calvin. Like, he just felt like, I don't even know.
We're bringing you along because you're a diplomat.
But who did he diplomat?
Yeah, at what point was he diplomatic at all? At any point in the story?
He liked that chick's hair. That was pretty diplomatic.
Was it?
I don't know. I don't know what diplomacy means.
I don't know, like, I guess I don't think, sometimes, you know what, he gives...
I don't think the writer of this did either.
The main character's name is Meg.
Yeah.
Sometimes he gives her, like, emotional support, but, like...
But that's not even diplomacy.
That's also not diplomacy.
I was on a different... I was trying to figure out why he's like useful he's to the there. Story. Yeah.
Like, yeah, oh, no, he's no. There for. Like,
no, he's there so 10-year-old girls have something to drool over. I mean, that's...
I can't even remember what he looked like.
He was a pretty standard, but, like...
Yeah, that's
pretty
right.
Standard, sort of pretty standard Disney white boy.
Yeah.
He really was.
Which is kind of too bad they didn't flesh that out. When I was, like, re-listening to parts of the book today, I was thinking about how there is one section that's super progressive, gender-wise. And because he, in the beginning, he's, like, wanting... He feels like... He's got to be the hero of the quest because he's the boy and he's the oldest. And
which in the 60s, that makes sense considering all media to that point has told him that.
And but it's Meg. Meg's the one who's been chosen. She's like, yeah, okay, yeah. He seems like utterly, but you know, I'm not a 10-year-old girl, so I don't know.
He's got like heartthrobish qualities. I imagine, for a 10-year-old girl.
Yeah. Is it the hair?
Probably the hair. Yeah, I could see the hair.
Egg?
Huh?
Egg?
Egg?
Your girlfriend Egg? Her?
Her?
Yeah, like, at no point did I feel like Meg was interested in doing this. Like, I don't know. It just, like, I didn't feel she was a hero.
Yeah.
Like, she did the things that were necessary that she had to do, but she didn't want to be there. You know, she fought it the whole time, mm-hmm. which is fine. But at some point, that hero needs to
step up
and become a hero. And it just
do hero things.
I mean, it's a couple of things. It's like the problem with characterization that y'all pointed out already, which I think I never like put my finger on it. But yeah, they have a huge problem with that. And then they skip a whole section because essentially, like, they go to Kamazots. They wind up having... They try to test her away, but Charles Wallace is too tied in with the it. So they have to, like, they test her away, and the dad tests her badly. And they don't go back to Earth. They go back to this other planet that's still in Kamazot's system, but that is not taken over by the evil thing. And they meet these, like, elephant-like beasts who care for them and who are, like, on the side of good. They're, like, intelligent forms. They actually look a lot, like, the description's a lot like in... God, what was that movie where she, like, talks to, like, learns the language of, we saw it together.
Oh, Arrival?
Yeah, Arrival. They actually look a lot like the creatures in Arrival. And, like, these creatures care for them, and then that's when they kind of have this council of what are we going to do to get this boy back. And that's when basically Meg is the reluctant hero and steps up and realizes she has to do it alone.
Okay.
Yeah, because her dad's already pieced the fuck out. He's like, yeah, you know, he's dead to us. And everyone in the council's like, we just need Meg to go get him. No, he's dead. We should just definitely forget he ever existed.
And so...
I just made all that stuff up.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, the dad had given up hope. I mean, it wasn't like his caliber, but he had pretty much given up hope. And he couldn't test her well enough to take her back. And so Mrs. Witch basically did some kind of testering where she tested herself, but then, like, sit Meg off on her own to land on Kamazots. And then she, by herself, saves Charles Wallace. And, yeah.
Does she have a little sidekick dude with her in the book? Is there a Calvin in the book?
Oh, yeah, there's a Calvin in the book. Okay. But, like, what's interesting, yeah, and that was, like, the really interesting gender progressive scene where... Calvin thinks he's supposed to be the hero of the story, and he keeps talking about what a failed hero he is. And Mrs. Witch is basically like, no, you're not. your role was to support Meg and to help her be the hero she needed to be.
Mm-hmm.
And
that
was
like a book?
Yeah,
or that's in the movie.
No, that's in the book.
No, that would have been a great scene in the movie.
Yeah, it would have been a really good scene.
That would have been really good.
Yeah, and have a few more moments where he's supportive of her.
And and let him be kind of a dick about it, mm-hmm. and kind of a man about it. You know, kind of how he sees his dad and trying to live up to his dad's expectation, and then have one of, you know, mm-hmm. Mrs. Witch would be a great one to pull him aside and say, look, you can be heroic by supporting someone mm-hmm. else. That is a good thing.
Mm-hmm. That would have made him into a real character.
This movie was already 2 hours long, Tony. Come on.
His character they could have
easily cut 15 minutes out of the flying Falcor scene.
Even when he's saying something or doing something, he's kind of got like this 1,000-yard stare, like, and everything he does is just super nice. Like, there is no character around it. It's just,
I hope this makes my career.
You know what? I think that's a failure in the writing.
No, yeah, it absolutely is.
Because the scenes where he actually has to act, I think he's a superior actor to Meg. As far as acting talent goes.
If he had better lines, maybe I'd remember how good his acting was, yeah.
And Meg had some decent lines, but her delivery was not great.
I wasn't taken by Meg.
Mm-mm.
And I don't know if it was the actress or they just like, I don't know, a lot of the things that they had done to characterize Meg, they could have just, done more with her. Done more with the bullying thing instead of make it so obvious and boring.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end, like, the girl is still looking out the window at her, but she, like, the only difference is, like, she doesn't look quite so angry.
Yeah.
Like, there's just, like, a lot of hand-wavy, like,
I'm not going to hate her now that I know she makes herself throw up.
Right.
Well, that's Jackie from the Goldbergs. You can't hate her. She's fine.
I don't know what the fuck
she's kind of a little jerk.
Yeah.
I don't remember what she said, but I remember she was a jerk.
Yeah, she was.
She said
your dad fucking left you, bitch. She didn't say it like that, but close. She said it like that. It was fucking close. No, they taped something to her locker about her dad. Like,
but that's not the part I was talking about. I was talking about the part out on the field.
Oh, yeah.
At recess or whatever they were doing.
She
threw a ball at her face.
It's been 4 years. This is just such a weird fucking thing. Like, your dad left 4 years ago. What the fuck?
Yeah, what kids?
Serious?
Yeah. I mean, that's like the whole thing. Maybe part of the translation in this day and age, like, do kids really care if their dad's not around? I mean, like, nobody's their own kids, like, care, but, like, other people's kids. Yeah, exactly. I was like, how would that even be a, especially, I think,
I'm not a dad to, like, 5 of my kids.
I mean, I guess I can, I don't know, it's just super weird.
I guess it's
kind of a high profile thing. Like, it's all over the news all the time. Like,
yeah, that's true, because it was like on NPR and everything. But like, who are these kids listening to NPR? And they know, like.
Okay, let's back up a second.
Your dad's theories on quantum.
Yeah, can we talk about how shitty Chris Pine was just in general?
Chris Pine is the dad?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he was.
Captain Kirk. Every time I see him, I always think of Captain Kirk.
Captain Kirk, that fucking conference. He's like, look, we have all this math and we can prove these things. And then the people are like, okay. He's like, also, we can teleport to the universe! And his wife is like, what the fuck, bro?
Yeah, yeah. And he's like, they're not ready for this.
Yeah. And he's like, well, I just wanted to make it known that we could do that. And she's like, what the fuck, man? Come on, bro. Now let's fuck on this bed because I'm angry with you.
What the fuck? He's Chris Pine.
What are we? He just has that Chris Pine beard.
Yeah.
Wow.
I
forgot about that scene. He just sucked.
He just sucked. Oh, hey, Meg, you're here. Yeah, we lost Charles Wallace. Ah, fuck him. He's dead. Let's go.
There's no way to get him.
There's no way to save him
wait,
at all.
Wait. Did you follow Oprah's rules? You didn't? This is on you.
Yes. God damn it.
Not my fault.
You should have listened to Oprah.
Right.
Hey, there's a reason Stedman's still around. He listens to Oprah. Gail and Stedman listen to Oprah. That's why they're still around.
This is why you lost Charles Wallace.
Yeah.
This is our punishment. Why in the this fuck do they just punishment.
Keep... Pick a name. Why is it Charles Ann Wallace?
I don't know why you hate the only Hispanic guy in the movie. Except for Michael Pena.
Was he Hispanic?
Charles Wallace?
I thought he was, like, part Asian.
I thought he was Asian, too.
When I looked up his the actor, I thought that's what I read.
That is...
That's the old one. That's the old movie, not the new one.
I like this playing Is He Hispanic or Not game. We gotta do this more regularly.
I like it too.
Because we lost with Quentin.
We did.
We did lose with Quentin. That was disappointing. But in our hearts, he's Hispanic.
We won. No, we already told him that he's...
We met Alex's boss's husband at Spirits of the Garden.
Yeah, I was there.
No. He looks Hispanic here.
Did you meet Quentin with us?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I came up after because you guys were on the stairs.
He looks
way more Hispanic.
Why did he look like he's Filipino?
Oh, well, fuck. So we lost this game, too.
But Spanish speaking in some parts.
Yeah.
I don't think that counts.
I had somebody ask me really if
that,
I was.
That does make it, that does make, well.
No.
It doesn't have to be the primary language.
I think so.
I had a bunch of people tell me they thought I was Asian very recently.
Whoa.
I don't get it. So I guess it's a thing. I mean, race is a construct.
Blue hair?
Yeah.
Like Asian as in like maybe Russian? Like, which is on Asia?
I could be Filipino.
Do you think you could pull that off?
I could be... I feel kind of attacked right now, but I don't exactly know why. You'd be half Filipino.
I'll give you half.
Yeah,
I could only be half anything because I literally am just half white. So,
If you told me that, I wouldn't think anything about it. But I'm also not, like, in the habit of second-guessing people's identity as they tell them to be, so...
Right. Yeah, me too. I'll be like, oh, yeah, okay.
Believe you.
What? Everybody keeps looking at me to keep this conversation going. You know what?
No, I'm just trying to think of...
Sometimes...
I'm just trying to think of...
You guys are going to have to stand...
He's just constantly on. We went out to brunch
with Alex's boss and his husband. And on the way we were walking back to the car, I created an Instagram account, Day Drinking with Quentin.
So that I couldn't do it.
Yeah, it was a very spiteful thing to do. I thought he was joking, and then he showed. And he has his own damn face on the thing, so it's not even like shareable.
You put your own face.
Yes.
I'm getting friend requests too. Day Drinking with Quentin is blowing up.
Let's see what else was in that.
You're gonna miss me when I'm gone.
He's just constant.
Fuck, I'm gonna get. Anna Kendrick going? To sing you the cup song
at my funeral.
At my fucking funeral next week.
Yeah, we are going to kill him.
Oh, yeah.
You'll miss it.
Isn't this like his ritual killing every year? It's like the hero goes underground.
It's more like a spiritual death.
Yeah, like resurrects. Yeah.
He's gonna die like until Panther trivia.
Thing. Okay.
Then he'll wake up on back up on trivia night,
okay.
Just so we can kill him again.
It's called by torpor. Juju. There are very few places in St. Louis that openly show the disdain for us giving them business like Juju.
Yet we just keep coming back.
Yeah, like they don't know how to make us like they want to hang a sign that says no more white people on the door, but they know they can't get away with it, and it probably wouldn't deter us anyway.
That's what I thought.
What?
What?
There is an Hispanic man in this.
Yeah, Michael Pena.
Michael Pena.
Yeah. I thought you were saying that Wallace was the only.
No, he also said.
I was already deep into proving you wrong.
Michael Pena, the greatest Marvel character.
I don't know.
He's an Ant-Man.
He's great.
I haven't seen Ant-Man.
He's fucking great in Ant-Man.
He's also in My Little Pony.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Grubber.
Oh, Grubber?
Yeah.
Fucking banana grubber.
I'm not about that.
Yeah, no, that could have been better. I'm going to research how that could have been better. It's Easter this week.
Yeah, Sunday. I got nothing else.
I don't either.
Yeah, I'm trying to think
the importance of this movie is bigger than its failings? Like,
yes. Mm. Let's unpack this discussion.
Yeah, so totally. So what do you feel like? Yeah.
So it had a lot of feminist narratives in it. You don't say so?
No, finish. Like, maybe I'm... Go on. No.
Well, the whole... Specifically, when you were talking about, like, Meg being the hero, the main character, the body positive things that they kind of tried to force in there.
But see...
Yeah, I'm struggling with it. Like,
you're
like,
struggling because you want it to be something that I don't think it is. Like, and I think it tried to be some of those things tacked on. Those things felt tacked on.
I didn't feel like they were tacked on.
And it's nodding a lot.
I feel like...
I'm not a kid, and these movies are for kids. So, yeah. This movie is for kids. So, like, it's hard. I feel like, actually, Aaron would probably have more to say about this than I would, or any kid. I mean, the body... I will say, I loved that moment. Like, that specific moment with when the girl... Like, when she's looking at the image of what she could be, and she's tempted by that, and she pulls back into herself.
There's a lot of body positivity in it.
And... Like, a lot of body positivity besides that moment.
I mean, Meg does a lot of struggling with, like, she literally faces off with a, like, beautified version of herself.
Yeah,
like,
that's what that moment, which I thought was really cool.
Oh, okay. You were talking about the girl, like, weighing herself and, like.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's that, but no, I was talking about the, like, yeah, the girl with the straightened hair with the, like, little dress on.
Right.
And yeah, and that's what she has to fight. I thought that was really great. And not in the book at all, but really fantastic. And I mean, there were definitely like hints of what it means to find your own beauty. Just little things that the three ladies were saying as they were constantly changing clothes.
Yeah, there were a lot of outfit changes, weren't there?
That was most of the budget, I think. I mean, I feel like for movies to do the kind of work that you're talking about, it's not that they necessarily have to be good movies, but you do have to have, like, really rich characters and strong characters, even if the acting is imperfect. Like, and they just didn't do enough with her. Like, she knows some math, which is cute.
Yeah.
They spent a lot of time talking about how...
I'm really smart.
Yeah.
Right.
Because I'm really smart.
Yeah. And it's just kind of like... Whereas, like, the Meg in the book actually struggles with school, but she's smart in other ways, and...
Which is probably a far more relatable experience for any kid watching this movie.
Yeah, and I don't know. I just, I don't know how, what it would mean for kids. Or that it means much of, you know.
So the thing is these themes are prevalent in Disney Channel original movies. These are not new, and it's stuff that, like, there are all kinds of Disney Channel original movies that are doing this exact same thing, that it's about being who you are. It's about looking how you look and being okay with it. You know, everything from the zombie high school cheerleader movie that was just on a month ago to The Descendants, which is the children of the fairy tale. Like the Disney princess characters.
Oh God, that sounds awful.
It is for us. It is for us. But Erin and her friends just eat that shit up, and it's all very positive. Like, it's all very positive messages that the girls are the heroes. That you know, to accept how you look and who you are and what your family was, and being okay with that. Not being something different.
Have they done the episode on Jasmine's first abortion?
No.
Like, yeah, embrace that abortion that you got when you were 11.
Get the first one out of the way. Just get that first punch in the card.
Oh my God.
10th one's free.
But
there's like such a complete lack of structure to this. Like, I have like a hard time going back and even parsing through like the movie at all, because there aren't really good definitions. Like,
there are good moments,
right?
But they are moments or lines,
but there aren't like there I didn't feel like there was a lot of sense of like of accomplishments. It was just like these kids were kind of tumbling through all these scenes. Like, it's not like they had these things that they were working to do. You know what I mean? Like,
they...
Do you think that was a problem in the writing? Because the scenes actually simplify things, because it's basically like, I mean, it was like typical hero thing. They consolidate the company, then they go to the, like, whatever planet that was with the flowers that, like, led them to what the mission was. And then they dropped by the happy medium, and then they went to Kamazots where they, like, did their mission, and then they went home.
Yeah, but like even in the first scene when they're on the first planet, like I felt like it was the older women who kind of took care of it. Like,
yeah,
the kids don't really do much of anything. Like, she's supposed to talk to the flowers, I guess. And did she do that? I can't remember. Yeah, was she able to do that?
Well, I think the point of that scene was to basically introduce us to the three ladies and like see them and see how wonderful they were. Although they didn't, I mean, again, it's a characterization problem. Had they done more with that, like, we could have cared. The talking to the flowers part was a little dumb. In the book, I think Mrs. Witch just tells them he's on Kamazots. And, like, it's not a thing.
Yeah.
Well, but then they go to the
happy medium. Medium?
Yeah.
Next. And he's kind of, they're just kind of like, you have to believe.
Yeah. Oh, actually, wait. In the book, that's where they find out he's on Kamazots. And so there's, like, no point, I guess, now. And what was the point in the movie of going to the happy medium?
There wasn't one.
Because they had already hired Zach Galifianakis, and they...
Yeah.
Like, it
no,
felt
they,
like...
they didn't know where he was when they went there.
They thought he was still on the planet they were on. Then they rolled around on Reese Witherspoon. They found it up in the sky.
They're like, oh, he's not here anymore.
Yeah, they're like, oh, fuck. We don't know where he is, but maybe he's not here.
But maybe they happen. But we know somebody who might know.
Yeah,
Reese, so we do still find out at
the happy meeting. The fun little thing that they have between Reese and
Zach.
I thought that was cute. Like, the little, like, we used to date or we are dating or something.
Yeah.
Like, it was still kind of like, I don't really remember it very well, so apparently.
Yeah.
But I remember I was like, oh, that's kind of funny.
So it felt like we've lined up a special effects team, and we've lined up music. We've got this rights to this music, and we've got a good score, and we've got these actors hired, and we've got this director, this Oscar-nominated director? I don't know if she wasn't nominated, but Selma was. The movie was nominated, because she directed Selma. So we've got, all these people hired.
This is a very different movie for her, then.
And also, we've got the property.
Mm-hmm.
We've run out of money. Let's hire the cheapest person we can find to write a script.
Maybe so.
Because, like, I think the biggest failing in the movie is the script.
Yeah, it definitely is.
Like, with a better script, the director would have had more to give the character, you know, more direction to give the actors.
She is an Oscar nominee.
She is?
I mean...
She was nominated for 13th Best Documentary Feature.
Oh.
That's a good documentary.
It's a doc. She was for... I was thinking of
for
fiction.
Solo. Oh.
I think the majority of the problem is the script, the screenplay. Like...
Oh, yeah.
There's just not much there.
Right.
It meanders. It doesn't tell a coherent story.
Right.
Like, there are moments of really good stuff. But is that the script, or is that... So somebody saying, hey, you know what would work really well here? Or this quote is better?
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing.
She was the first Black woman to win Best Director at Sundance.
So we've got, like...
From Middle of Nowhere?
I'm not familiar with that.
We've got, like, Jennifer Lee, who did Big Hero 6 and Frozen. But then this other guy doesn't look like he did.
Is that the writer?
Yeah.
Writers?
That was one. Yeah, so that was one of the screenplay writers, and then one.
Those are the two. Those are the couple that got credit. And how many others did it go through? Yeah.
There's
also
there's three writing credits. Oh no, that's
Madeline Engel's one of them.
Right, that's based upon the novel.
But you're right. I mean, they had all these underlings who were actually writing it, and maybe they just like did the last pass.
The polish. Yeah, it is.
You know what this script needed? This script needed fucking Carrie Fisher to roll in at some point and fix it.
Yeah, it did. I could see that and actually could see getting cleaned up quite a bit.
Yeah.
Punch up the dialogue and
a ton.
It fixed. Doctored is fixed.
Doctors fix things?
No. Have you ever met Luke?
Confirmed Luke has never fixed anything?
Did he fix that D&D campaign?
It didn't finish.
We're still playing. Well, I didn't know it was broken.
That one we're still playing. Oh, no.
We're still playing it. We just haven't since the first time we ever played it.
We just haven't played the second half of it yet.
Right.
Five months ago. Just doing a biannual thing.
Yeah.
Oh, I guess I'll apologize for Luke. Oh, I'm sorry. I bought a house and I had a baby, so...
Fuck him.
This movie should have been better.
It could have been a lot more.
It could have been so much more. I actually think you guys have it backwards. I think that those progressive ideas you have weren't shoehorned in. I think they had those things, and the story was shoehorned in around it to make those scenes accessible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's...
Yeah.
Like, she wanted to do these things. Well, how do we manipulate this to get to there, which is why it feels so disjointed, because, like, you're on a trajectory to get to that point in one part of the movie, and then you need to get to this other thing that makes no sense, so you gotta, like, shift that trajectory to get you to the conclusion.
I think that's just as likely.
What do you think she was trying to get to? Like, what were the things? Like, besides body positivity? Because that was also what I couldn't figure out about the movie. Like, what is this about? Yeah, Meg needs to feel like she's pretty.
That happened a lot.
Yeah.
Calvin was, like, obsessed with her hair.
I wanted to vomit.
All the comments he kept making about her
hair.
Yeah,
and, well, I think what made me want to vomit was that it was cool later. And I was like, it's still not cool.
It's still not cool.
Yeah, but, yeah.
I feel like I had something here, but I don't.
Yeah, because I couldn't figure out what was...
They had picked three or four really good quotes for Mindy Kaling to say.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have to figure out how to work those quotes in.
Make those work, yeah.
But only those quotes.
We have to find out how to make Oprah as big as possible.
We need a tree stump.
Why wasn't Oprah the planet? Like, the whole planet.
Miscast.
Hack the planet. Hack Oprah into the planet. I would have given anything for Hacker Man to show up. Just roll in. And he's like, you're not actually tessering. I'm hacking you around the galaxy.
They should have watched The NeverEnding Story. Like, repeatedly for 6 months before they wrote. Like, I'm not even joking.
Yeah. It feels like somebody...
They should redo The NeverEnding Story.
Yeah. The NeverEnding Story is perfect.
I think it's due for... I actually think it is due for a redo.
In the fucking swamp. Yeah, you think about that horse drowning in the swamp, and then you think about whether or not they should redo that.
I absolutely think
they could redo it.
Yeah.
What?
So a new generation can actually experience the movie.
But what do you
I don't
think,
feel like the movie has aged.
Yeah,
though.
What do you think about, like, what ages The NeverEnding Story at all?
The fact that nobody can make money on it, so they don't, it's not out there.
Well, is that a marketing failure, or the fact that it's...
I mean, no one's going to market it because...
Nobody's marketing it because nobody's watching it. I don't know that anybody's got the rights to it. Like the...
Oh, really?
I don't think it's streaming
your kids
anywhere.
Kids haven't seen NeverEnding Story?
We own a DVD copy of it.
That's a failing of you, personally.
The trick was Holden started reading the book, and I told him we'd watch the movie when he finished.
Ugh, reading.
That was about 5 years ago.
Instead of watching...
That was about 5 years ago.
Read the book, and it's a fucking German book. I feel guilty. I need to read it. Yeah, yeah. Michael Ende, he wrote a bunch of, like, he's like Germany's big fantasy writer.
I thought the book was really good. But I was like ten when I read it.
My favorite book is originally written in German. So therefore I can't find an audiobook copy of it because it's not it's
what
never
is it?
The Stone and the Flute.
I'll have to look that up.
Hans Bemmen.
Okay. Yeah.
It's like that thick.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would love an audiobook copy of it.
Especially something that
long. Do you even like The NeverEnding Story?
No.
Oh.
Fucking worse.
No,
yeah,
you know
I need
why?
To sit down and...
He flies around in that fucking dog too much.
I fucking love that dog.
Falcor is
Yeah, the
best
part of that dog is when he crashes into the fucking ground.
It was a long time
My
before.
God. You...
I'm just going to send you a fucking gif of that horse sinking into the mud. I'm making my avatar on every social media platform.
Day drinking with Quentin.
The worst thing about what he said is he called it a gif.
Yeah, I tried to pretend that doesn't
happen. It's the worst.
Hey, guess what?
Falcor is
no
like
one gives a shit about
the best.
That.
Valcor.
Yeah. Like, my mom tried to convince me that Valcor was a dragon and not a puppy, and I just refused to believe her. Yeah,
it's a luck dragon. I wanted to get... It is a luck dragon.
No, it is a luck dragon, but I also refused to believe that, so... Yeah.
I wanted to get, like, a long-haired, cream-colored dachshund, and I make Valcor.
Oh, yeah.
Falcor.
I mean, like, I feel like the only thing that Siri... I mean, I have to watch it again. That seriously aged about that movie. Atreyu's haircut.
The haircuts are...
Is rough.
A man who speaks some sense. Some sense to what, Vash? About the never-ending story?
And, I mean, you know, the Empress is a little like, we can't really have, Empress. Like, yeah. Yeah, that's... She's a little... She just
precious.
Looks really, yeah, she looks a little... She just looks really anemic. I just assume that she didn't have all of her blood.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, no. She's lacking in the blood department.
She's also dying.
She's extra white.
And so...
She's almost literally translucent. Yeah. Like, she's dying.
Yeah. Which, I mean, like, how do you... I mean, of course, she's dying, so she's got to be ineffectual. Because right. She's dying. So, I don't know what you... It would be great to do something good with that, but...
Drinking with Quentin is supposed to be a new picture.
Fucking nightmare. This man is a nightmare.
Swinging into that swamp.
He's the worst.
Oh, man.
That's okay. This is he'll be dead come Sunday.
What a never-ending story did write is, and maybe, I didn't read the book, so I'm having trouble, like, grappling with what you're saying, which is, like, none of this was in the book, so I'm like, wait, how? How did they make this movie, then? But, like, a never-ending story, it was, like, it was a journey, but there was, like, definite trials that he had to go through. So, like, in the book, one of the trials... No, it's in the movie. He comes across the Sphinxes, and he has to answer a riddle or something like that. But there are, like, definite things like, oh, okay, I have to get through this, formulate a plan, get to the next step. And I didn't feel
that for this. I have
to
do a thing.
Right.
And do it and accomplish it.
Right.
And you have a sense at that point once it's figured out, like, how the movie is going to run.
Right,
so,
yeah.
So you can structure in your own mind what, like,
well,
what
it's that is. Like, there are literally,
meandering. Like,
there are also literally losses along the way that are meaningful. There's no meaningful loss in this.
That's important, yeah.
There's no meaningful loss in this story.
There's no loss.
Yeah.
None at all.
The only loss happens before the story. And it's getting back
recovered.
Dad.
Right, yeah, that's completely recovered.
Right.
Yeah.
Is the fucking what Superman problem.
Well, I mean, like...
What Superman
I'm trying
problem?
To think in the book, like, it's that's no an interesting question, like, what's lost? I mean, I feel like that's part of the problem with cutting out the whole scene where, like, I think the planet is on Ixthel, where they, like, are ministered to by the beasts. Is, like, then you sort of see, like, Meg's mission, and she becomes the hero, but Meg also loses her faith in her father as, like... the person who can, like, make their family whole and take care of her. And so, like, that's definitely, like, and that's, a real puberty childhood loss is when you realize your parents fuck up.
Right.
Calvin's masculinity. That's the loss.
You know what the loss is? 2 hours. And about $25.
Here's what I did. The day
that's
we saw
my
this,
loss.
The day we saw this, we didn't go to see Sam and Haley in Minnesota. Because Haley broke her arm or
self.
Whatever. Yeah, she broke her face. It wasn't her face, it was her elbow.
Elbow.
So Haley and I went to go see this at like 10:30 in the morning. As soon as it got out, I went to the store, I bought a 12-pack of beer, and then I just proceeded to drink that 12-pack of beer for the rest of the day.
See, and I feel like that is more of a heroic journey.
It was.
That
I really
like really.
Yeah.
You know, like you go to the store, you gather the company together.
All 12.
Yeah.
All 12. You were the 13th in the party.
It's like Jesus and the apostles. So, like, it was very sort of like religious resonant thing.
I was the 13th warrior.
Yeah. And
I
then,
will be the first.
And
in
then
man.
You go to your recliner, which is like, I assume, which is like the scene of like where battle's going to be done. And
I thought about recliner all
it
the
was,
time.
It was me and the Balrog at the Chasm of Khazad Dûn. It was actually my computer chair all day.
Oh, in your computer chair. That's also a worthy place to do battle.
I battled React and Redux. Mongo.
Did you, like, find anywhere, like, where you got healing and could, like, renew your...
I did have a mentor who died along the way.
Okay.
He was a wise old man who was leading me on this journey.
Okay.
But this was like 7 or 8 beers in, so I'm not really sure he was real.
Nice.
So.
I feel like that's about the appropriate like point at which you would have that happen.
A hallucination?
Like 2/3 of the way in.
Yeah.
Where your mentor leaves you and you have to like go on your own.
Yeah, it's about when Ben died.
Take up the mantle. Yeah. I'd watch that.
I've seen it too many times. This is a rerun.
About 10 beers in, that's when the fool shows up.
Does it take that long?
Hey man, the fool spins the harshest truths.
The 11th beer is when the planning starts. Yes.
That's not. I get that
from my mother.
Yeah, I was gonna say that's like way too far in.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm buying a keg rider.
I have not seen your mother drunk.
Yes, you have.
Yeah, you have. She was
what?
Yes.
Like Labor Day or when?
No, this last
more recently.
Yeah, far more recently.
Oh, like
at the trivia.
Oh, does that explain it? The whole okay. See, I can forgive that now.
She was making plans with you.
I told you what she like. I know. I cannot say this like on a podcast.
I know, but she was making plans with you, right?
Yeah. I mean,
does that remind you of anybody who, when they start drinking, make plans? True. Like that just doesn't materialize.
And she got like very effusive and emotional.
Oh, that happened. That they're on the same cycle.
But I didn't. But I didn't know she was drunk. Like, what was she drinking even?
Beer. She was drinking the same thing that
Dave okay. Was just Bud Light.
Yeah.
Just drunk on Bud Light.
She was drunk.
Yeah. Huh.
Okay. I just hadn't noticed like how much she had had or whatever. Okay. I can't imagine getting drunk on Bud Light.
It's real easy.
It isn't that easy.
It's real
like, that's
easy.
That's a lot of Bud Light to drink.
Yeah.
Where do you think I get this from? It has to have come from somewhere.
Yikes.
Tony's kicking us out.
No, it's 11 o'clock. Panda just decided it was time for him to go to bed. He was being a pest about it.
Yeah, he's like, fuck this movie.
Yeah, there's really not a whole lot more to...
Yeah.
Bash on.
It should have been much more.
Yeah.
It just wasn't.
Yeah.
Tired.
Like, there was a lot of pieces that were right. They just couldn't put them together.
All right, is that it?
That's it.
Stream.
All right, next, 3 billboards outside of Ebbing, Missouri.
Oh, yeah. Is that streamable?
Yes.
Okay.
Bye. Bye.